everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It's Monday, November 30th, and we just finished watching Raw, and it's time for us to gather for the Monday Night Tradition, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show here on MegaPowersRadio.com, where we'll be inviting you, the listener, to post your questions, your thoughts about tonight's show, or on nights like tonight, we really just invite you to talk about whatever the heck is on your mind, because I gotta say, tonight's Raw was a chore. That's putting it lightly. This was a tough one to get through. I don't know if we're going to spend a lot of time actually even talking about Raw. We will try because I know there are people out there who listen to this show to get an actual recap of what happened, but
what?
I don't have much to recap. There really isn't much to go on there. But all throughout the night, we want to be inviting you guys to participate, and I'll tell you how to do that in just a moment. But first, let me tell you how you can support things here at Mega Powers Radio. The number one way to do that is through our Patreon account. Just search Mega Powers Radio on Patreon.com, where you can subscribe to us for as little as $1 a month. To donate to us to help keep things running here, bringing you shows like the Raw Post Show, the All Talk Show, the Dace Man Show, and whatever the heck else we want to bring your way live on Mega Powers Radio. You can also support us just by joining us live every single Monday here on Mega Powers Radio. If you can't be here, though, we are available pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, and you can find links to all these places at our archived home on SmarkOutMoment.com. While you're on all those places there, please rate and review us. Help us climb the charts. Find other folks to listen to us. And heck, if you're wanting to get other folks to listen to us, invite your friends or your not friends that you might think be wrestling fans and be into this kind of thing. And as I said, we want you guys joining us all throughout the night. And the number one way to do that is through the phone lines. If you want to get in, we're going to open those up around 11:30, but you can start dialing in now to get yourself first in line. Pick it up and dial area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. Put yourself first in line to get heard here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. You can also join us via Skype if you prefer being connected to your computer. We also got the chat room opened up on our Blog Talk Radio page. Shout outs to the folks who are joining us nice and early. We got Wazili, Kalen Ferris, Silent Wind of Doom, and Listener 88, who is our good friend Peter Piccinini. Still not sure if we're saying that name right.
Piccinini.
Piccinini.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't come with the accent.
Well, it does what I say.
That's the 88.
You pay at the count. All right, folks. You can also join us via Twitter at Raw Post Show. On Facebook, the official Facebook group is The Mega Maniacs. Just search for that and you will find the place where you can chat to us all throughout the week, even beyond tonight. But let's get things kicked off with our conversation about Raw with the panelists here. First off, my name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio and the host of the Raw Post Show. I'm back after a week of hiatus, feeling much better than I was last week. With me this edition, I have Mr. Steven Huego.
Oh, God, I almost don't want to be here after that episode of Raw. Christ.
Well, I could arrange for you to have some kind of surgery. Maybe we could take out a kidney or something. All right.
He didn't say no.
Also with us is a man who knows a lot about taking out kidneys, the Italian man, Mr. Tony Mango.
Hey, look, that's just allegedly.
Everything's allegedly. You're talking about on a podcast. You definitely got to be careful. Yes, indeed.
But he doesn't get the Italian accent. Okay.
How can you really add that to Mango?
It's a mango.
A mango.
Just make it even more Italian. Call me like Mancuso or something. Mangonina or something.
And joining us special edition this week, Mr. Drew White.
What's shaking?
What's shaking indeed. Fellas, this was a craptastic edition of Raw. And actually, I think I'm being a little harsh. It was a very unenjoyable Raw. When I look back on it, there's nothing that was particularly offensive. There's nothing that I'm looking at like, oh my god, what the hell were they thinking? Except for maybe the Rusev Lana segment. That kind of hurt. But what is the problem that's going on here where these shows are becoming so unbearable, yet we got an exciting roster of guys. We're getting a shakeup of things because of all the injuries where they're forced to try all these different people. What's going on here, guys? Why the show is so bad? And what do you feel is the biggest thing that you took away after watching this very odd edition of Raw? Wago, why don't you start us off?
I didn't take anything away from this Raw especially. There is not one thing that stuck out as me as some major attraction or something majorly that offended me. It just bored me. So if anything, the thing that I took away from it, I was just bored.
Drew, you got anything to say about this?
I think a good start might be giving us some exciting matches. I don't know. Change up the championship scheme. But I don't know, maybe a hot debut might help. But fuck, I don't believe anything good will come from anything that happened tonight.
Wazili in the chat room saying there's no shock value. It's just the same shit every week.
Now, what are you talking about? Tommy Dreamer, come on.
Same big shock deal. Week in and week.
ECW, come on.
Tony, what's the big thing you took away?
Some guy's kidneys. No, this roster is really thin right now, and they need to start either bringing in some people from NXT or using the people that they aren't using, because there are actually not only were people pulling double duty, there were people that didn't show up, and that's really odd to see, like, a bunch of people have to wrestle two or three matches or something and see other people like Damian Sandow still sitting out on the sidelines. I don't know what they're doing.
Do you think that they're just too stubborn to go and rely on somebody like that?
Oh, 100%. I think that they're looking at this as like, well, you didn't work before. We can't depend on you now and have to kind of like eat our words. So instead, we'd rather suffer. Then they'd have to admit that they're wrong, you know?
So ratings are tanking worse than ever. Populist opinion overall is just the product in general has been shit. I'm not as negative to it, especially with Survivor Series. People all around seem to just hate it. And I actually like Survivor Series. I like Roman Reigns as someone who could potentially be the guy. I actually don't even mind Sheamus being champion right now. I can't put my finger on what it is. But interest is just at an all-time low. Mick Foley made a big to-do about how this is probably going to be the last Raw he ever watches. And if this is what was presented, I wouldn't blame him if that's how he was feeling and this was the last one he ever watches. That is a shame. Guys, is this... What's wrong?
I think all their top guys are injured. Pretty much that is the problem.
That's a part of the problem, but when was the last time they've done something new and original? We might have gone to the point where they can't really bring anything new to the table. Really, what sells wrestling nowadays for a lot of people is the wrestling itself. And if they're going to try to focus something on anything, they might as well just do what NXT is doing and just focus on what happens in the ring.
Has WWE finally done it and they've become the old fogies? And that's why NXT is exciting, because NXT is really not that different from WWE.
No, see, I don't think it's about the age of the wrestlers at all.
Well, I just mean as far as the company culture.
Even that, no, because they do change things up. I mean, look at the network. The network is something that it's still pretty fresh. We went through decades of having nothing anywhere close to it. And we're now still in like this kind of honeymoon phase where, like, how many people really know what the schedule is on the network? I remember 2-3 days ago or something like that, I was double checking to see if maybe Breaking Ground had ended up showing up, and it was like, oh, okay, that's Monday nights. Oh, all right. Well, I don't know that. Like,
they seem to put it on whenever the hell they feel like it.
Yeah, like, it's tough to figure that kind of stuff out, but like, there's still content on there, ignoring pay-per-views and stuff, that I haven't gotten around to watching yet, like Unfiltered with Renee Young. And they do, like, different things now and again. But I think the biggest problem is just, it sounds so, like, stereotypical to say it and stuff, but I think it's Vince McMahon. And I think it's that stubbornness that we were talking about a few minutes ago, where they do like to showcase some new things, but they don't like to do radical ideas for the sake of it. In NXT, you have a little bit more playing ground. You can try something out, and if it fails, you can sort of repackage a guy, or, like, it's not the most important thing in the world. I think Vince takes some of the things a little bit too seriously, where it's like, that, you know, the argument that we've seen with John Cena all the time. Well, John Cena can't lose any of these matches without looking strong or something like that. Well, why? In NXT, you can have an Apollo Crews guy have 2-3 matches, make his after his debut, and then lose clean, and nobody cares because they're not trying to protect him so much. And they get wrapped up in their own brain too much on the main roster, and it causes a lot of problems.
Well, I got to say, kudos to them tonight for at least having the heel team with the larger amount of members win.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I almost felt like, especially when they took the other Uso out, that it was going to be the story of Roman Reigns overcoming the odds. I was like, oh my God, don't tell me they're going to do this.
I personally think the biggest issue right now, if I had to narrow it down to one thing, because there's 100 little things we could always point out, WWE doesn't have a character that's really likable. Like, they've got an odd couple, but, like, there's no one that's really, like, everybody's into that character specifically.
And Dean Ambrose, maybe?
No, they don't. He doesn't really have a character, to be quite honest.
I mean, are we counting the part-timers? Because you got Undertaker and Brock Lesnar.
No, we got a character. Like, they do good business when they're around. But when they're not year-round, which is most of the time, they don't really have many characters that are likable. They don't have many characters that have a character. Like, what is Sheamus' character? He has a mohawk. What is Roman Reigns' character? He says believe that. What is Dean Ambrose's character? He's a little deranged and he throws scrappy punches. Nobody has a personality. Nobody has catchphrases anymore that are over. There's just nobody fucking likable. There's nobody for anyone to get invested in anymore.
Well, and what you're saying here is you're describing these deep characters that maybe are a thing of the past. I think a lot of times now they're trying to go so much for these reality-based characters. That's why you don't see people going for those catchphrases as much anymore, because people don't talk like that.
Bray Wyatt does.
It worked.
Oh, that's true.
It worked for Austin and Rock, and that was more a reality-based era than the 80s, so I don't see why it can't work now.
Well, at that point, there was a guy who was a porn star.
Yeah, so
that's reality. There's porn star jobs out there.
Yeah. And you know what? He was fucking more over than most of the guys on the roster now.
Yeah, but you can't just, like, say that, but then be, he's fine, he's a porn star, but at the same time, two guys who do garbage and as a part-time thing, you can't just believe that as well.
All right, well, I have 2 points I want to make about this here.
Mm-hmm.
One, with the ratings going so low, WWE is not stupid. If they see this continue, they're going to be left with no choice but to give up on Roman Reigns, right?
No.
No, there's a lot of reasons Roman Reigns' ratings are low. There's a lot of reasons.
You say that, but he's being given the opportunity and that spot. Other guys have delivered in that.
No, this right now is the test period for Roman Reigns because they have no one else. That's why they're pushing him so hard. If he doesn't really deliver here, I don't think they're going to keep having the same faith in him.
They can't take him as somebody who can save the company like a Stone Cold Steve Austin, that's for sure. But at the same time, it's not all on him. And to be fair, it's not all on Sheamus either. It's a collective thing because if you look at the whole 3 hours, it's not on one guy. And, you know, I'm a big fan of a lot of different people on the roster, and I don't like certain other people, whatever like that. If Alberto Del Rio, one of my least favorite of all the people, was the world heavyweight champion, but everybody else was banging on all cylinders, I would still enjoy Raw. I would hate his segments probably, but it wouldn't make me and everybody else tune out. And the same thing goes for if I really, really like somebody and they're at the top of the card and everything else is garbage, I'm going to like one segment on the show. So it's really a collective effort. And if they don't have as many people on the roster that they can play around with, and if they don't have the right booking sense to play around with, then every segment is going to be kind of blah.
Okay, like it's okay to have a I understand what you're saying. The company's got to have a strong backbone, but they've always had the one guy that's bringing in the money and bringing in the crowds. That's the way the business model's always worked, because that's the way it works.
There was a lead actor and everyone else was the supporting actors.
And without, and they don't have that right now. And I think partially it's because they didn't pull the trigger on Roman Reigns maybe as soon as they should have. He's rushed into this role. But at the same time, he's in that opportunity and he has to make it. There's nobody else except for him it falls on. It is on his shoulders. He's meant to be the next main guy. He's got to start doing the workload. It's an unfair amount of workload, but when you're put in that spot, it comes with a lot of responsibility.
So, at the same time, though, Stone Cold wasn't the main guy with the world title, and he was still drawing in a lot of viewers when he was feuding for the Intercontinental title.
Meh.
A star will be a star no matter what part of the card that they're in. And right now, it seems like the people that are drawing the most attention is New Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's because they're a group of people that they had their own idea. Vince and company, not necessarily always Vince. I mean, you know, we can't just say it's all on him. That they weren't really buying into it. For some reason, they were able to convince them to just let them do their thing. And holy shit, did it take off. And this has been months now. And they're just still as entertaining, if not better.
I'm confused. Is New Day actually part of the League of Nations, or is that just like a team up for tonight?
That's what I was thinking. I'm hoping they are, because we don't have much Americans in there.
And also, is all of the League of Nations included into the Authority?
I think the League of Nations need to be a non-American thing, so hopefully the New Day isn't in it.
And here's another question. Is Alberto Del Rio representing Mexico or Mex-America?
Mex-America, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Well, now he's representing the League.
Questions that we all need to know.
He's Dane the Mex-American.
Dane Quinn tweeting to us at Raw Post Show, all the top stars are gone, so they create more stables? That doesn't make sense.
That's a good point.
Do you guys think we're just at a point now where we're overexposed to the product?
I've been saying that forever. We've got too many hours of television. Seriously, now is a great time if we had 2 hours where these shows with major polls in them and major booking faults, you could close the gap on those a little bit.
You know what the issue, I believe, is? You know, we have this three-hour Raw, and they clearly establish SmackDown as a show. It's like, oh, yeah, here's some matches. Nothing's really going to happen on SmackDown. Almost everything will happen on Raw. So you think they would use the time that they used to write for SmackDown, and it would translate to 3 solid hours of Raw. And you don't have to watch SmackDown. But Raw is just not doing it anymore. The 3 hours is killing me. I know Payton said it was a chore to get through Raw tonight, but it's been like that for a while.
All right, well, I have another tweet here, and it's going to lead me into another point I wanted to bring up. Dane Quinn tweeting to us at Raw Post Show, they only care about WrestleMania season with no competition. Fellas, we're only a little over a month away from the road to WrestleMania, and it doesn't feel like it. And if this is the players that they're probably going to be playing with going into it, It's a worry, and they're going into this massive stadium. I'm scared. Mm-hmm. I really am. And it feels weird because I usually have plenty of confidence that they can pull something out, but
don't worry, John Cena's going to be coming back and he can be the star of the company again. Yeah.
That's probably going to be what it is.
Mm-hmm. A couple months ago, I was thinking that this is going to be an amazing WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And you take out about 6-7 people. I mean, Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, Sting, Cesaro, Tyson Kidd. Tyson Kidd's not gonna also make or break it, but
also take The Rock out the equation, because apparently he can't do Mania because of the insurance thing. So,
and take out Ronda Rousey, because there was that buzz that it could be The Rock and Ronda Rousey against Stephanie and Triple H, and then there could have been the triple threat with the Shield, and you could have had Undertaker, Sting, and you could have had Brock Lesnar and somebody. And there's a lot of people that this was depending on that really just, I mean, if you're a comic book fan and you want to go see the Avengers, the build up for that movie was you get to see Hulk, Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, etc. If they would go, well, we can't really have Hulk, so we'll give you Mockingbird. And we don't really have Thor, so we'll give you, I don't know, Ronan. Nobody will give a shit about the movie anymore. And that's what's happening with WrestleMania. I'm scared. I'm scared about Royal Rumble, too.
Well, we want to know what everyone out there is thinking about Raw tonight, about what's going to happen going into WrestleMania season. What you just basically think about the current state of affairs in WWE. Dial in area code 760-512-7247. Join us via Skype. Join us in the chat room. Tweet to us at Raw Post Show or on the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. This is the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show on megapowersradio.com. Let's, I guess, actually just dig into some of the segments that actually happened here. The show started with a massive celebration. Confetti coming down from the skies. New Day coming out dancing, having a huge celebration. It's kind of vague of what it's actually for at first. But eventually they invite out Sheamus, and they all have a big dancing celebration. Sheamus says, oh, I'm the champion now. I did it in 5 minutes and 15 seconds. Or that's how long Roman Reigns' reign was. Tried to do some quip, like, biting off of Austin's 316 phrase, and they really pushed that throughout the whole night. They made a match with a stipulation.
Sheamus between Sheamus and Roman Reigns.
Says, I just kicked your arse. Sheamus had a shirt for it. I feel like they're probably going to market that shirt. This is bad.
I didn't even notice this.
I really didn't pay attention. This was a huge theme through the whole show. How could you not have noticed
it? It was Sheamus. I really, like, good legitimately, point. I had no idea that they did this. When you started talking about a Stone Cold reference, I'm like, shit, what did I miss?
To be honest, it's
Sheamus 515, like, on a t-shirt, like the Austin 316 thing?
Yeah, it was like the black shirt with the white text. You probably even know what font it is.
I probably do if I look at it. That's what's sad. That's terrible. I don't care about Sheamus 515.
I'm not so harsh on it as everyone else is, so, I mean, or arse.
Defend the segment. Tell me why it's good.
Well, the New Day was out there. They made some good jokes. Sheamus danced like an idiot. Yeah, that was kind of funny. And I thought the reference was okay. This might be my high point of the night. I really enjoyed the opening segment.
I will give it one good nod. Sheamus did look good in that suit.
He did. And the slick back hair looked good.
And the slick back hair.
Slick back mohawk was fucking terrible. I liked it.
It looked better than the actual mohawk itself.
Yeah, I thought it was a little classy. I liked it.
I wasn't a fan. But the segment itself, it wasn't offensive, but by no means did it get me excited for the main event because they never fucking announced the main event.
So I was thinking, with Becky going after Charlotte, kind of, maybe her potentially going for the women's title. Do you think that perhaps we could get an Irish-born WWE World Champion, Divas Champion, and NXT Champion?
I personally don't give a fuck about the women's division right now. The first thing they, like, really don't care about this division. Sure hope they don't bring Ric Flair in. There's Ric Flair.
Woo.
Yep.
Woo. As if we wouldn't get enough woos.
Fuck me. So they had some terrible wooing segments. I actually like Charlotte. Somewhat turning heel. It's promising because God knows she's awful as a babyface.
All right. Well, we'll come back to that. But all right. So Sheamus gets a bunch of pyro. Roman Reigns sneaks in. Superman punches him, steals his WWE title, runs away with it. This doesn't last long. Thank God, because I always hate when they do those stupid stories. The Authority comes up to Roman Reigns, makes him give the title back, tells him that he's going to have a match later that night against Sheamus for the title. But in order for Roman to win the title, he must do it in 5 minutes and 15 seconds. Again, this thing running through the night that somehow Tony did not even notice.
I got the 5 minutes and 15 seconds, like, for the match itself. I didn't get the Austin thing.
Oh, okay. You didn't even notice Sheamus coming out in the shirt?
No, I didn't at all. I noticed the suit, and I think that they're just trying to play into the you look stupid thing, and it's not doing anything for me.
He's going to try and make a reference from it later and be all Big Show and be like, 517, remember that?
So let's just skip ahead. They had this match around the 10 o'clock hour, Sheamus versus Roman Reigns. For the WWE title, Roman Reigns must win in 5 minutes and 15 seconds. They get just around the 5-minute mark, and suddenly Rusev interferes, pulling out Roman Reigns. And suddenly we see Wade Barrett and Alberto Del Rio appear as well. Sheamus takes a mic and introduces us to the League of Nations. That's our new stable with all these international talents. The League of Nations. What do you think, fellas? Drew, you're our young guy here and perhaps the most scholarly of the bunch.
Well, I enjoyed it. But, you know, I actually relatively...
you're making me really regret using that phrase.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it was okay, you know. I mean, I was excited when they announced the match. Then they're like, oh, yeah, you're going to win in 5 minutes and 15 seconds. I was like, well, fuck, either interference or it's going to be like pinfall and it hits it before the 3 count. But, I mean, I like the idea of the League of Nations. It gives Wade Barrett something to do. It gives Rusev and Dario something to do. So, it's okay. There's much worse out there. That's for damn sure. Like that Rosebud fucking shit.
Oh, God, we'll get to that. That was really bad. Tony, you like this at all? I mean, I know you don't like Sheamus. You don't like Del Rio, so that's half of this already down for you.
And I'm not the biggest fan of Rusev. But I like it, oddly enough. I've been saying for a long time, I agree with a lot of the people that used to think that it would have been a cool idea to have Drew McIntyre and company in some kind of like a UK sort of thing. I like stables. I don't know. There's something about it that I'm fond of. And
how cool would it be if, like, William Regal could be there to be their manager?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Well, he's having surgery, so no, we can't.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. But if he was available and he could have done something like that.
That'd be cool. Cool.
There's a lot of different things, though, that could go bad and could go right about this. I don't know if they're really going to tie them in with the Authority too much, but one thing that I kind of like about it is maybe they don't have to focus on the Authority. Because I've been sick and tired of seeing Stephanie and Triple H just commandeer every single beginning of every single show and stuff. And I don't want that to happen with Sheamus and company. But at the same time, if we have these four talking instead of Stephanie, Triple H, and Seth Rollins for a couple months and stuff, you know, I'd be down for that. And we have four decent wrestlers when it comes to a variety. So, hey, you know.
When they first came out as a group, though, I thought it was the League of People that got fucked by Cena.
Well, that's like their
I guess so, but...
I don't see how Del Rio fits into that.
He had a huge world title run come to an end because of Cena.
Yeah, that's true. But for some reason, it feels like this is going to be over after a month all over it. Or, you know.
Really? I think this is a WrestleMania storyline.
I guess so, now that I think about it, because there's not much going on at all, but...
It might be a WrestleMania storyline this week when they threw it together.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just feels like something that they'll fizzle out of. I mean, a lot of the time, unless it's the Authority, they hardly ever like keep focus on something for long enough. And, you know, earlier you talk about, you know, this is the road before the road to WrestleMania. Dude, when was the last time it ever felt like the road to WrestleMania? I wish it'll be. This could be like a whole fucking like storyline, like USA versus this League of Nation. But you never know. It's too early to tell that kind of stuff.
I like how the USA is mostly being represented by Cena.
That's what I was about to say too.
Yeah, we're gonna get this at WrestleMania in some fashion.
No, it should be the Samoans. So they gotta get the Rock back. So it'd be those four versus the League of Nations.
Remember how we were always getting the Shield against three random people?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get Del Rio and Rusev and Barrett against three random people.
Think Sheamus will be the champion still by then?
Mm-hmm.
You think Del Rio will still be the champion by then?
Probably.
Unless Cena comes back and takes it.
No, he's not taking it back from him, I don't think.
I think Cena's going into a feud with Taker.
Ooh.
For the US title?
No, I don't think... I think he's going to be away from the title. I think he's just going to keep busy until Mania, and then they'll probably do him a program with those two.
That's what brings back the American Badass, because he's like, I want to be the American Badass and the U.S. champion again.
And represent America versus the League of Nations.
Well, this made our main event. It was the League of Nations going up against Roman Reigns, teaming up with the Usos and Dean Ambrose, his most trusted friends. However, surprise, right before the match begins, the New Day comes out and informs us all that they'll be joining the League of Nations. And as I said, I'm still not sure if this means that they're officially tied with the League of Nations, or maybe it's one of these loose binding things. Whatever it is, it made it 7-4. And it made for a semi-interesting dynamic for the match here. Eventually, they even took out one of the Usos and had him carted out on injury. And the heels actually ended up winning this. I believe Sheamus hit a bro kick on Dean Ambrose.
Maybe. Yeah, I think that's how it ended. Yeah.
I zoned out of this match at least 3 times. The commercial breaks didn't help. And as soon as I heard 7-on-4, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tony, does this help anybody here?
No. Not at all. Not a single person. Nobody benefited from this episode of Monday Night Raw.
At all? Throughout the whole episode?
Nope.
Or just out of these guys?
Nope. I don't think that there's a single segment tonight that helped out anybody.
Yeah, that's actually pretty spot on.
And if anything, some people look worse.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Not everybody, but there's one person that we'll talk about him. But
is it Adam Rose?
Yeah.
All right, so we have our first match of the evening was actually Dolph Ziggler versus Tyler Breeze. Hard to believe we're still having this match going on. Ziggler gets the win with a super kick. You pin me, I pin you, I guess is what they're doing with these guys right now. Another perfect situation of something that doesn't help anybody.
It doesn't help anybody, but this is just a filler feud, so they've got an extra spot in the pay-per-view cards filled, so... If they have a good 15-20 minute match, I might be a little more excited, but they don't ever give these guys enough time to work.
Yeah?
Follow it up, Drew.
Well, Swago hit it spot on. I mean, I wasn't necessarily looking forward to seeing this again, so, and it's still happening. The match was good, but I don't know. Tyler Breeze getting pinned by Dolph Ziggler. I mean, Ziggler's not really much of a name anymore, so if anything, it just hurts him. So he might be someone that wasn't helped at all from tonight. Probably worse off now than before. And
man, that's such a problem. You should never be hurt losing to a former world champion. The fuck is wrong with this company?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean,
wait, maybe it's Dolph Ziggler's fault.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, this match, I immediately lost, like, a lot of, like, momentum in this match when Dolph Ziggler, like, ran into the post and it was like, oh no, my shoulder. I was like, fuck me, it's going to be one of those type of matches. Him just whining around and selling a whole bunch. Fuck.
You mean a Dolph Ziggler match?
Yeah. I was hoping to be a Tyler Breeze match for once. Shit. I don't know. I mean, I like Breeze when he holds, like, the selfie stick up and, like, he's in the corner post and that's kind of cool. But other than that, it was okay.
When he's in the post. Transport himself into the post.
Yes. Still not seeing any reason not to send Dolph Ziggler to NXT right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's open up the phone lines. Just reminding everyone out there, if you want to get your voice heard, dial in area code 760-512-7247. You can also hit the Skype button at the top of the broadcast page. Chat room is already filled with lots of cool peeps as well, and you can join them in there by registering with Blog Talk Radio and tweet to us at Raw Post Show. So let's see what's going on here. Caller?
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, you crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
You ain't nothing but a time cow.
Mooing all the time. Something. Not a friend of mine.
Yeah, definitely not a friend of mine.
No friends indeed. All right, so we had an edition of Miz TV with Rusev and Lana, the return of Lana to Raw. So much for having Big Heat and not being on the show, right? I almost wish she wasn't, because this was a barf fest. This was one of the worst segments of the year. Absolutely insufferable. Rusev, when they try to do this romantic stuff with him, is just the worst.
Okay, except for that time you said wet fish. That was funny.
That was pretty cool, yeah. Thankfully, it was interrupted by Ryback having a one-on-one match between them. Something about Lana getting hurt happens in this match. I don't fucking know. This was around where I tuned out. This pissed me off having to watch this.
Honestly, I really don't I don't understand how Lana got hurt. So Ryback threw Rusev into the steel stairs, right? and then Lana fell over. Is that what happened?
Sure.
I don't get it. I don't get this. The only good thing about this was that Ryback, the big guy, he got the big old win. You know, made a joke about Dolph Ziggler getting it on with Lana. And, you know what? That was actually a running theme throughout the night. And, you know, we had Adam Rose mentioning Dolph Ziggler. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this sucked. Like, this really, I mean, the first thing I said when Lana was coming back, I was just like, oh, man, she really needs to be better than she was before. If it's the same shit, I'm not going to care. Same shit. Didn't care.
Literally, what they did is they had her come out to her old theme music, which we haven't heard her do in freaking forever. She did that walk around where she kind of shows off her legs and butt, which was kind of cool.
That was fun.
And then she came down, and oh my god, she was atrocious.
Yeah, this had promise when it was just Rusev and Miz out there, and then she came down.
I mean, something else I noticed in this that bugs me a lot, and it's not just Lana, and it's not just something that she does all the time too, but it's something that almost everybody in wrestling does, especially if they're a heel. And this is indie feds and WWE and all across the board. People think that if they're cutting a promo and they're a heel, they need to laugh a lot. Do you ever realize that?
Like Seth, what Rollins, Seth Rollins did terrible. That.
And Lana tonight, she's like, she said some quote. I can't remember which one it is. I should have written it down, but it was something where she said like, Rusev was there when I needed him. Ha ha ha. And whatever. And it's like, what's fucking funny about this? Just because you're a heel, you're supposed to be cackling all the time? You're talking about something that's not funny. Laugh when you screw a babyface over. Laugh when you tout how great you are. Not just as like another way to say, you know? That kind of stuff bugs the hell out of me. And now that Lana's a heel again, I didn't like her as a babyface. I didn't like her as a heel. I think she's incredibly overrated in all aspects. And she's paired up with Rusev. Well, you know what? As bad as it is for me to say it, I like the pairing of Rusev, Sheamus, and Del Rio more than Rusev and Lana.
It's the right move to put them back together, in my opinion, but they didn't need a segment. TMZ already broke the story. Yeah. All you had to do is have Rusev come back down with Lana and just address it on the commentary. Oh, they're back together as broken by TMZ so many weeks ago.
I say fire her.
So, is Rusev and Ryback a feud going into TLC?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. You know, they did a terrible job following that up.
Fans need to, like, we need to unify some way when these terrible segments happen. And, like, maybe so, like, organize it so when they do shit like this, all the fans just turn around and stop looking in the arena. Just imagine if an entire arena did that.
I've always wondered if it was possible to really get people to do that.
Like, that would be such a great movement, just for everybody to be like, nope.
That's what it could be called, the movement. Everybody moves and just turns around.
You see it sometimes in sports.
Just imagine, like, the first time it would happen, though, the people that they do it to. They'd be like, the fuck?
Well, you know what happened during a Roman Reigns promo.
Yeah.
Well, everyone fell asleep.
Turn around! This is real life! Okay, he was terrible.
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines here to another caller. This one's coming into us from area code 708. Caller from 708, you are live on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Who's calling?
Dave from Chicago. How are you guys doing?
What's shaking, Dave? How you doing tonight? What'd you think about Raw?
Man, it was tough. Man, I just don't know why the product's been getting so stagnant. Everybody bores me. I just can't.
How long have you been watching, WWE, Dave?
Since I was 5 years old and 24.
Okay, so that's quite a long time, actually. So you've been through a lot.
Yeah, man. It's just I don't know, man. It's just every segment was boring. Even the Charlotte Becky match.
Oh, that was one of the worst.
Yeah, man.
That was one of the worst segments of the whole show.
I know, man. And then Rusev, Lana. They're doing the same shit again. I don't know, man. They're not pushing anybody. Like, everybody's so freaking boring, man. Roman Reigns, they're stuffing them down our throats. What do you think they've been trying to do? Like, they're trying to do like the Daniel Bryan angle, like they did like 2 years ago with him. Except it's not gonna, you know, work as good. Or
they're grasping at any straw they can to get people to get behind Roman Reigns, whether it's the underdog fighting against the authority. Now they're going to do the whole thing. We're trying to get people to chant USA for Roman Reigns, because who can possibly refuse chanting USA? They're doing everything they can to get people to cheer for him. That's essentially what their goal is with that.
And man, they just killed Del Rio. Like, I'm Mexican, and Del Rio is, like, really boring to me. I would have liked him come back with Ricardo Rodriguez, come out with the Low Riders, but they put him with Coulter, and, you know, I like Swagger. I like the, you know, We the People gimmick. Everybody chants it. I don't know why they don't push him a little more. Maybe because he can't talk or he has a list or something, but why do you think, like, Del Rio's, like, he's getting no reaction in the crowd, I think.
Well, people have a long-time bias. People have a long-time bias against Alberto Del Rio. A lot of people just have been very, very indifferent to him. And since he's come back, the gimmick that he's been playing with this whole Mex-America thing has been terrible. Now, I think as far as his performance, his in-ring work, his matches have been top-notch and some of the best possibly of his career.
Yeah, man. He's in good physical condition right now. He comes back, he looks stronger. His matches are entertaining, but, man, just the gimmick's real dry, you know?
The whole thing is stupid, and I'm glad I'm not seeing Zeb Coulter out with this whole League of Nations thing, and hopefully he's just going to be pushed aside, and that could just be Del Rio's thing as being a part of this League of Nations.
That's one of the storylines where I'd be fine if they just dropped it 1 week. I hate it when they do that, but that's one of those things where if they wanted to just drop Mex America, I'd be perfectly okay with it.
Hey, one question. With WrestleMania 32 coming in, I'm not even looking. I was real excited like a couple months ago about the card, and now, you know, Rollins is out. Rock supposedly isn't going to fight. Mm. You know, Steve Austin's out. We got, like, you know, Lesnar, Undertaker, Sting's questionable. Like, do you think they're going to bring back, like, Goldberg or Batista or somebody? Because now, like, I don't know how they're going to sell 100,000. Maybe if they had Stone Cold or somebody, like, I don't know, man. Just the 32 cards not even getting me excited anymore. I just think it's going to be Roman Reigns versus Lesnar again, and Undertaker versus Strowman and Cena. I don't know. I'm actually missing Cena, man. I'm missing Cena.
Cena was doing some of the best work of his career this year with the U.S. Open Challenge. It's a big loss for them not to have him. As far as how they're going to fill 100,000 seats and whether they're going to make that a good show, that's something we were talking a little bit about before. I don't know how they pull it out. They would have to get some kind of big name there, but Rock is gone. Lesnar isn't as big of an attraction as he once was. Stone Cold is very adamant that he's not wrestling. I'm still not completely sold on it. I still think there's a chance.
I think the only main event they can do is John Cena versus The Undertaker. It's the only big, big match they've not done.
I'll tell you how they can fill every seat. Lower the price.
Just...
people will go for WrestleMania if the price is right. If the prices are, you know, nosebleed section is $100, people aren't going to go. But you give it a cheap enough price, so many more people will be willing to spend the money.
They always eventually get there. But here's the big question. You have to make people want to pay the $60 well, I guess people just got to pay the $10 for the network. That's a lot easier to swallow. Man, it's great living in this year.
You guys hear anything about Goldberg? I read some online reports about them maybe talking to him.
I don't think he would be worth any money. What do you guys think any different?
I think he's more likely going to go to TNA before WWE.
I mean, it'd be interesting, but you wouldn't be able to like have him stick around for too long. You'd have to keep him as a special attraction along the lines of Brock Lesnar.
I don't know if he's an attraction anymore. He's a lot smaller than he used to be. That was Goldberg's thing. He was all body and just ran for people. Now he's slimmed down a lot. He's not on that fucking diet of eating whole chicken today.
And who would he face that really even matters?
Brock Lesnar.
Lesnar would be the rematch, and honestly, I'd be intrigued to see the new version of Lesnar fight him.
Yeah, I don't think that Goldberg's coming in, and I don't think it's necessarily because they wouldn't have a match for him. I think that he has so much bad blood, he wouldn't want to do it. They'd probably end up having to pay him way too much money for what he'd be worth.
Yeah, apparently he's a prick to deal with, so you know, that just surprised me.
You know, TNA would fall for it. TNA would probably pay him all the money and then lose it.
You know, do you think they'll hot shot a James Storms up on the main roster or anything like that?
No.
Nah, damn. Especially not James Storms.
Yeah. I know.
He says he's his own tag team.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dave, before you go, we always like to ask our callers what their favorite part of the show tonight and their least favorite part of the show tonight was. So if you can, come up with it. Your high point and your low point for Raw tonight.
Man, my high point by disqualification, I guess, is the New Day. that's the only segment I actually like watched, you know, the opening segment of Sheamus. I don't know why they booked those main event heavyweight matches. Like, you know, the title's not going to change on Raw, which it should one day to make it Raw, you know, watchable. Like, you know, like it did like when Mick Foley won it back in the day and it got the ratings up. But, you know, when they do World Heavyweight Championship matches, you just know it's not going to be, you know, a solid finish or whatever. And I guess low point was Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Oh, gosh.
I watched Sasha and Brie better than them. You know, at least Sasha can do something in the ring.
And at least there wasn't a Ric Flair out there still being an old coot. All right, Dave, really good call, man. Appreciate you calling in. Always welcome here to call in again to the Raw Post Show. Definitely hey, hold man, on to the number here. What's up?
I appreciate it, man. One last question. Do you think they'll bring back Angle? I would love to see Kurt Angle versus Rusev, you know, at WrestleMania.
I would love to see Kurt Angle back. As Tony said with Goldberg, I think there's still some bad blood between them as well.
How good, though, would it be if we had the League of Nations against a team led by Kurt Angle?
Oh, my gosh. And it could be like Kurt Angle and Jack Swagger and, Jordan and Gable.
I was just going to say, shit, just bring up Gable and Jordan and just have the three of them make it like the new, what was the name of Shelton Benjamin's team?
World's Greatest Tag Team.
World's Greatest Tag
Team. Yeah, just do that again. Team Angle. That'd be so fucking great.
Oh, I'm getting giddy just thinking about how cool that would be.
Oh, it's a shame it's not going to happen.
All right, Dave. Lots of cool ideas, man. You have a good night, man. Good talking to you.
I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Again, open to anyone calling in here. Area code 760-512-7247 to get your voice heard on the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio.
Good call, Dave.
Chat room. Yeah, good call, Dave. So let's return back to the conversation here for a little bit before we continue the phone calls. We had the Dudley boys calling out the Wyatt family. They had these tables that were made to look kind of like tombstones with all the Wyatt family names on it. This prompts the Wyatt family to come out, and the Dudley boys are like, oh, you think you got the numbers advantage on us? Well, we got a secret weapon. Tommy Dreamer.
And the crowd goes mild.
Actually, the crowd did seem to kind of care.
Yeah, because they didn't know what that theme was supposed to be for.
Yeah.
They're like, who's this guy? Who's that guy? Oh, it's Tommy Dreamer.
Okay. They didn't really pop when he was announced. They got into it during the match.
It is kind of like an ECW area there.
I've had so many like ECW revivals that I'm so done and burnt out on it.
Oh, my God.
Like, TNA didn't help with that. And Tommy Dreamer looked so bad. He looked like he couldn't walk properly. He was sweating just on the way to the fucking ring. He had an exchange with Eric Rowan where I could fucking hear the conversation they were having. He fucking sucked.
Hopefully this is just a one-off.
Hopefully.
And shame on the fans that chanted, "This is awesome." No.
Did they?
Yeah, there were fans.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Fucking Pittsburgh.
You know,
nothing good comes out of Pittsburgh.
No, you know, they think since they're kind of close to you know, Philadelphia, that they're a part of the thing too. But they're like the second cousin that hangs out on the weekend every once in a while.
Can we just talk about how terrible Pittsburgh is?
Yeah, there's that one guy, I think he's down, who's from there, and it kind of sucks.
Well, I mean, everything sucks there. It's dirty. Their baseball team sucks. Their football team sucks. Smells.
Yeah. Nothing good comes from Pittsburgh.
They wish they were Philadelphia, and Philadelphia sucks.
You know, I will say there was one good thing about this segment, and it might have been the before the Wyatt family and Tommy Dreamer came out, when it was just D-Von and Bubba in the ring and they were talking about the tables and such. I thought that was cool, I guess.
There was a lot of intensity to that promo. It was a very old school Dudley Boys type promo, especially when D-Von came in. When you counted down the three commandments.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. That was probably the highlight, their actual mic work. But after that, it just all went downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Even the table bump was very underwhelming.
Oh, he like went too far back.
Yeah, I'm just like,
he kind of hit the side of it.
I would have rather just see the Dudleys get laid out.
They realize, like, yeah, Tommy Dreamer is not probably who we should have relied on. we need to get somebody else.
You know, how many brothers will they have to bring out before it's...
Yo, I was half expecting, like, Spike Dudley and Big Dick Dudley or something to come out.
Well, they said a brother, and I was like, oh, which Dudley's coming out? And then it's like, oh, Tommy Dreamer. Yeah, they were in ECW that one time, but fuck. That was... No. Yeah, but bring out a friend, maybe, but an acquaintance. I think would have been a better term for that.
I was actually thinking that they would do something even worse. I thought that they were going to take somebody like Neville and just call him Neville Dudley, like they've done in the past.
Oh.
And just like put glasses on him and, you know, some like camo outfit and just be like, oh, he's like our new brother kind of thing.
Oh, whatever happened to El Torito becoming a Dudley?
Oh, God. Don't give them an idea because it's still 4-on-3.
That's like 2.5 if you really think about it.
All right, well, we had a matchup between Alberto Del Rio and Goldust. Del Rio wins doing the thing he does in the corner. That move's really getting played.
Yeah, I like how he just coincidentally gets him in that position every time, even though no wrestler on the roster ever gets anyone in that position.
Well, look at the 619.
619 actually makes more sense.
When he used to set it up, but at the same time, there would be people that like he'd do like an enziguri, and they would fall like halfway across the ring and land on the ropes like that.
Yeah.
That move sucked.
619?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of
this. It was okay. I mean, it worked for fucking him. What finisher would you give Ray? I think that worked.
I wouldn't. He should lose all of his matches because he's funny.
Oh, I got a good one. A super kick.
I don't know.
How about a DDT?
I don't know. If he tried to give someone a super kick, he just hit him in the fucking like stomach.
Sweet shin music.
Sweet stomach music, Tony. Come on.
Indigestion.
So... Jack Swagger comes out to was probably one of the biggest pops of the night, actually, to chase at Alberto Del Rio.
So
this is continuing.
When they came out with him like last week and on SmackDown, did he have the hand T-shirt on, or did he just decide to put that one on tonight?
No, he had it last
week. Oh, okay. Must have missed it then. I don't know. You'd think that they would have given him a new T-shirt, but fuck, it's Swagger, so who cares?
Well, they probably still got a surplus of that shirt sitting in the warehouse somewhere.
Probably.
The T-shirt budget went to the 515.
Oh, of course. Wonderful. We had Lucha Dragons against the Usos match. Number one contenders for the tag titles implication on the line. Ended in a no contest. So that must mean we're not going to have a tag team title match at all at TLC.
Woo. Or they'll cop out and make it a triple threat. Woo.
Then they just announced it on .com. Didn't bother to give it any real promotional show.
Did they?
Yeah, it's a triple threat match.
Oh,
hey. They officially announced that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a ladder match or what is
No,
it?
It's just labeled triple threat.
They have to add a stipulation to it. It might be the stairs match.
No, they're not doing table sliders and stairs and chairs.
What?
Bears.
Bears and eclairs.
I'd love to be in an eclairs match. That's awesome.
Pears.
Pear pressure. Sasha Banks finally got on Raw with a match against Brie Bella and getting the victory via the bank statement. Thumbs up for that, I guess.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was nice to see, you know, the one diva that people actually like be on the show.
Sheamus and Roman Reigns, you already talked about. Divas match. Charlotte, the Divas champion, going against Becky Lynch, non-title. They decided they wanted to have this match because they're BFFs and they wanted to have a match together. Yay. And Charlotte's like, ooh, my daddy's going to be in town, so this will be like a great honor and junk. And it was fucking stupid. Everybody's wooing. It was not fun. Charlotte plays possum for this to sneak a pinfall, and then they're playing all catty afterwards. Meanwhile, Paige is sitting there stoking the fire. Oh, I'm so over this.
So, boobs. Yeah?
There was not nearly enough boobs in this match because Becky Lynch's top covered it too much. Charlotte has none, and Paige was on commentary.
And we only saw Paige for like 5 seconds.
So how good is Sasha Banks, huh?
Oh, Sasha Banks is fucking awesome.
How good is Bayley? I would kill to see Sasha Banks and Bayley right now.
Did Becky always have that smoke come up, or is this something new?
That was something she had in NXT, and they never used for her on the main roster, and that was the first time they did.
Hmm. She has a weird entrance. Doesn't really fit her.
Well, no, it's steampunk.
It's just odd. Like, I don't look at her and think that she should have something like that. That's, like, Undertaker-ish, sort of, almost. Then again, we got, like, somebody like Ryback who comes out and pretends that he's got pyro. Yeah,
you know whose entrance she actually completely copies? Think about it. The steam coming up. She's got the long black jacket.
Edge?
Edge.
Edge.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember actually when she first did that entrance at one of the NXT events, someone did a mashup with the Edge's music playing. And, like, everything down to, like, how, like, she gears herself up and then runs to the ring and slides under the rope.
Whoa.
It was all, like, completely Edge.
You think I don't
know me.
There's not enough of her pulling the hair back for it to be Edge.
I'm fine with her copying Edge if she does a live sex celebration. With Lita.
Who'd you do it with? I don't know about Lita now. Maybe Lita
only if Lita is cheating on Matt Hardy again with Becky Lynch.
Shit, Lita looks better now than she did before, I think.
Not bad.
I wouldn't go that far, man. She looks like she's 50 now.
All right, before we
come on.
So this wasn't even the worst segment of the show. I have two what I think is possibly the worst segments of the show.
What about the year?
Titus O'Neil and Stardust have a Christmas moment. Stardust is doing his thing, talking to a Christmas ornament. Titus O'Neil sneaks up behind. He's wearing a big, jolly old red Christmas sweater. Slaps Stardust with a box that says, "Get in the Christmas spirit," and then barks.
Yeah. It was cool up until Titus showed up. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, actually, like, Titus comes off as the heel in this. There's just Stardust, he's all happy with his stars, minding his own business, doing his thing, and Titus keeps fucking with him.
You know, I love how Stardust was, he was like trying to find the Ascension. I'm more surprised it wasn't like, how'd you find this place? This is a place only I know of.
How do you keep getting in here?
I did like the last time they did this where Titus O'Neil was just kind of like, you got a weird freaking room here. Like, that was good. This one was lame. But do you guys think that they're going to do this just as a means to stall Goldust and Stardust? Or are they done with that already?
Why are they stalling it?
I think it's because they just don't want to do it at TLC.
I don't think they want to do it. The last time they did it fucking sucked. Now I know why Vince didn't want them to do it. Makes perfect fucking sense. Mm-hmm. You're actually, like, seriously still into the idea of Stardust or Skulldust? It was terrible first time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this is different because this is actually, like, the character work, I think, and this is going
to
be interesting.
The booking of the last match is what screwed it over, because it was all about Goldust not wanting to fight Stardust, so that's why it was like...
You see, I thought it was the terrible match they had that fucked it over.
The booking of the match became terrible. I mean, if you book somebody in a blindfold match and they can't see, it's going to be a problem. And this was basically Goldust not fighting Stardust. If they actually just fight each other, I think these two could have a damn good match.
Yeah. You think at this point they're going to just be like, yeah, remember that one time we had a father... Yeah, I'm gonna take
Well, and if they were gonna stall, why wouldn't they have Goldust doing something where he's winning rather than just getting his ass kicked by Alberto Del Rio?
Because they're dumb.
I don't know. What was the point of bringing Goldust back if you were just gonna job him out like that to Del Rio? Now I think about it.
Where the fuck was Kevin Owens? I thought that Goldust and Owens would have been an awesome little feud.
Fuck! I didn't even think about that. Where was Owens tonight?
Huh?
Yeah, like
one noticeably guy that, absent.
Maybe he was at the zoo.
I mean, fuck, it's Pittsburgh. Their zoo's probably just, like, a bunch of, like, chemical waste on top of animals.
Maybe someone offered him some cookies and they were actually laced.
But they were chocolate chips, so.
Yeah, chocolate chip. You don't turn that down, right?
All right, well, guys, Adam Rose is back. He's got his own segment called... The Rose Booth. This is essentially kind of like where I guess he's supposed to be like a talk soup kind of thing where he just talks to a screen and there's a little box in the corner that flashes things that go along with his dumb jokes.
You know, I would actually think this would be okay if Adam Rose was actually an enjoyable character and that maybe they wrote him something that was actually good. But this is like, oh yeah, so I'm going to make a sex reference, but we're PG, so I'm not going to actually say sex. I'm just going to toy around the rose bush with it.
You know what didn't help? Off. The piped in laughter.
Yeah. You think that was piped in?
Yeah, that was fucking fake as shit. It sounded fake as shit.
I mean,
I know I wasn't laughing at it.
It was dreadful.
I don't know. I think the Stardust thing was worse, though. So,
mainly and he talk about bad gimmick after bad gimmick. He fucked up. Like, I don't understand why people like Leo Kruger so much. I thought it was kind of meh. He sucked. He was okay on NXT when he debuted as the party animal gimmick, whatever he was calling himself. He sucked when he came to Raw. Sucked as the party pooper on SmackDown. And now he's doing this. Please just fire him.
You know what would have been cool is if they actually let us know who the bunny was, but they dropped that one like it was nothing.
Man, you know who was also absent from the show? Mad Braddocks.
The bunny?
Yeah, the bunny was gone too. Yeah.
Look, I don't wish anything bad on anybody, and I wouldn't want the guy to get fired and have like no means of making money and stuff like that, but this is really the time where WWE has to look at him and just go, you know what? It's not worth it. He's not worth the money. He's tried a couple different characters. They've all been garbage. Not even like bad, garbage. He's not over with the crowd. He's not particularly good in the ring. He's not good on the mic. I can't imagine him being the type of guy that they would want to keep around as like a backstage trainer or like even like a young enough guy where he could end up like being groomed over a couple of years. He's on the older spectrum. Like, what's the good thing for keeping him on the payroll?
There's no investment in him.
No. Guys, Silent Wind of Doom is saying in the chat room that apparently last Thursday it was revealed that Adam Rose stewed the bone.
No.
Good.
Bet it was tasty.
I'd eat the fuck out of some rabbit right now.
Mm-hmm. Some rabbit stew.
Mm-hmm.
That should be Adam Rose's gimmick. He's just going around giving people rabbit stew. That'd be a good way to get him over.
Shit, if I like, I just sit in front row and he comes up and gives me a fucking bowl of stew, I'd be happy as shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to fix Adam Rose. So, guys, any concluding thoughts about Adam Rose?
He fucking sucked.
Yeah, he fucking sucked.
He fucking sucked.
Well, that's a good sentence, guys. He fucking sucked. Well, with that, we're going to start wrapping things up because we've hit everything here on the show. There's still some time for you out there, though, if you want to share your opinions. Dial in on the phone lines, drop in the chat room, or tweet to us at Raw Post Show. We're going to start doing the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most god-awful, embarrassing part of the show is. If you have a good, bad, and ugly, drop it in the chat room, and we'll read it after ours. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's get things kicked off with us here. Drew, what's your good, bad, and ugly?
My good for the evening will be the opening segment and Sasha Banks winning. That was cool. My bad. You know, Adam Rose fucking sucked, but Titus O'Neil's worse. So I'm going to give my bad to Adam Rose, but it's really an ugly if you really think about it. And my ugly is Titus O'Neil ruining a perfectly good Stardust talking to an ornament. Like, what a fucking asshole. Like, fuck you. Seriously.
Guy fucking gave up his Thanksgiving to feed food to the poor. You're going to call him an asshole because exactly. He barged in Stardust. All right, Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
I'm not sure if my good is that Sasha Banks got television time or my good is she actually won a match. Both great things, not enough of that happening, so good goes to Sasha Banks. The low goes to the Miz TV segment with Rusev and Lana, fucking terrible. And the ugly goes to whatever the fuck Adam Rose did tonight, other than maybe give me Super AIDS via that segment alone. Fucking terrible.
Tony, good, bad, and ugly.
Surprise, surprise, my good's gonna go to The New Day. I still just dig the whole thing, and I loved how they brought some more of that up, up, down, down stuff on the commentary where they said, he's your daddy and your uncle, family tree, figure that one out. Like, all right, shit, every time they do that joke, I'm going to laugh. My bad's going to go to the Sheamus situation. We had him basically try to use the New Day to get over apparently a stupid t-shirt idea. The pyro was dumb with like some weird botch at the beginning. And this idea of the beat the clock championship match thing, if Roman Reigns looks strong in that, Sheamus looks weak and you have a dumb champion. And if Sheamus looks strong, then there's nothing to watch. So it's a terrible idea from a writer's perspective. And then on top of it, I had to see him again in the main event. And that match did nothing for me, too. So everything revolving around Sheamus was bad tonight. And I'm not really excited for this title reign. And my ugly. I'm going to give you who said it. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I don't know.
That was the crowd chanting at Lana and Rusev when they were saying that they never fucked Summer Rae and Dolph Ziggler, which was the only good thing to come out of anything from Lana and Rusev tonight. We had a terrible edition of Miz TV, a stupid match with Ryback, and it brought about that Rosebush segment, which was essentially just, hey, guys, do you remember how much Adam Rose sucks? Oh, wait, you don't? Because you forgot he existed? Well, here's a reminder. Terrible.
Grabbing a few out of the chat room here. Kaylin Ferris saying the good Adam Rose. Bad, not enough Adam Rose. Ugly when the Adam Rose segment was over.
What a girl's name. Ugh.
Settle with the Doom saying good. Ryback's claims that he heard Lana and Dolph went all the way made me picture Taurus Ryback pestering Ziggler for details. Bad, the Wyatt still holding a 4-on-3 numbers advantage and no one seeming to notice. Hey, we talked about that. And the ugly, how much Rusev has fallen. Listener 88, Peter Piccinini, saying good, New Day, Sheamus party. Bad, main event, and ugly, the Divas. For my good, I'm going to give it to Sasha Banks just being on the damn show and getting a victory. It's good they haven't completely forgotten about her. Bad is going to go to the other divas, Charlotte and Becky Lynch. What a fucking mess that was. However, it was nothing compared to that abomination that I'm giving my ugly, that Rosebush. I hope that's a one-time mistake that they make and they don't dare try to push that again next week. Hey, my favorite commercial, I have one this week. And I think you did one last week for them where it was one of the WWE-sponsored ones.
Yeah.
And it's going to be that again this week with the New Day promoting WWE Shop. Great spokesman. They were pushing everything. They made me want to buy those stupid little pop vinyls and everything else they were yelling at me to get. They had me hooked.
You get a corn hood.
Want to represent. All right. So we're going to do a game before we close out things here. We're going to play a game of Tap Out. Now, if you haven't heard us play this one before, the way Tap Out works is I'm going to give a topic, and the host here will go back and forth, going through, naming an example of that topic, until no one can name one anymore. Once person's eliminated, we'll continue with the other two. And the person who is last left there will get to pick who does the plugs and how they have to do them. This has gotten some fun results before. Let's see what we can get out of this one. Gentlemen, your tap out for this week is ECW Originals. Tony, you can start this one off.
Tommy Dreamer.
Wago.
Sandman.
Drew.
Sabu.
Tony.
Taz.
Wago.
Joey Styles.
Drew.
I feel bad. I'm probably going to get this wrong. RVD.
Yeah. Tony.
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. Wago?
Roadkill.
Drew?
Balls Mahoney.
Tony?
Bubba Ray Dudley.
Wago?
Devon Dudley.
Drew?
Would Spike Dudley count?
Yeah, you would be Spike Dudley. Tony?
New Jack?
Wago?
Mike Awesome.
Drew?
Not Mike Awesome.
Ah, Drew is out. Tony?
Just Incredible.
Lance Storm.
Tony?
Chris Benoit.
Wago.
Terry Funk.
Tony?
Sonny. Well, she went by Tammy Sitch.
Okay, Wago. And, damn. All right. Tony wins this edition of Tap Out ECW Originals, which means you get to pick who does the plugs, how they do them. How are we doing it this week? I mean, chat room, if you want to throw out some quick suggestions there. I should have done this sooner to give you more time. But, Tony, any thoughts in your mind what you want to do with this?
It's totally Drew, because he didn't do last week's either. And
so I wasn't here last week.
I'll try to think of some way for him to do it. I don't know. Did we have any ideas last week, Waco, of how we could do it?
You could do it as a really skinny stuttering dude.
Totally Drew is definitely a good name for a show.
I do like this idea that Silent Wind of Doom put out in the chat. Do the plugs as Ryback revealing everyone's sexual secrets.
What? What does that even mean?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I don't think Drew could pull that off.
Kaylin says, do the plugs as Adam Rose's Rosebush. Isn't that the same kind of thing?
Can I just do it as Ryback? That, I think I could do this.
I don't know. Should we let him? He kind of requested it. That kind of makes me think that we shouldn't. Yeah.
No, yeah, I wouldn't do it. Well, you gotta do something that's gonna make him embarrassed.
Dude, if you...
He would have fun doing Ryback.
I would. Adam Rose, I'd fucking nail it.
What's some really ridiculous thing that we could get him to do? Like Stardust level ridiculous.
Have a shitty match with his brother?
Silent Wind of Doom says, am I the only one surprised that Rosebush wasn't about Becky Lynch?
Boom.
Nice. That might end up being the comment of the week.
Like that. Yeah, that was well done.
I don't know, man. Guys, tell us in the chat. We had a little bit of time. We can figure this out.
Yeah. I could do it as Stardust.
No, you can't.
I could do it as anyone.
He might not be able to do it, which might be kind of funny.
I can't do it as that guy because I don't watch Lord of the Rings.
How about he does it trying to do the plugs, but some homeless guy keeps trying to interrupt him for change and he keeps trying to have to get him away?
What was that one you made the one time where it's like, do the plugs like you have a small dog fighting catch
up? Yes. See, at least I'm getting creative with it.
All right, go with Wago's idea. This is kind of interesting.
So I'm pretending that I have a small dog that's biting.
No. There's a homeless guy that keeps trying to ask you for change while you're trying to do the plugs.
Like, are you gonna be like saying change?
No, you're just gonna pretend it. You're gonna ad lib, dude. Go on.
He's on the other end of the line where we can't hear him because he's not up to the microphone.
So I'm trying to avoid the guy asking for change.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know how to fucking do that. Give me a minute to think. How am I going to do that? We have time. I mean, we still have like another 36 minutes until the show officially goes off the air.
All these people are probably waiting around for our plugs.
Yeah, I know. That's sucks to be you, nerd. You know, can I do the plug as Ryback revealing everyone's sexual secrets? Mainly because...
No, you could do what you're told.
I could. I mean...
I disconnected. Is he doing it already?
Yeah, it's already done.
No, he's not even coming close.
All right. So...
Come on, Drew.
Okay, so... All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now you see what we have to deal with when he tries to do a fucking outro.
Well,
God, imagine if Sean was scripting this for him to do.
Don't worry, God. Drew. The show isn't live or anything.
I know. That's the. I was ready to do all these guys, but not this. All right. So, if you want to go check out some amazing things, no. Go, please. I don't have any money. Okay. Go to smartgoutmoment.com where you find all of Tony's magic. Did you just hear me? I said no. Hey. No. Look at my wallet. See it? No. Anyways. And if you see, you want to see some Stephen Wago stuff, you want to go to stephenwago.com where no. Mike Payton, WWEFantasyLeague.com. And that's all I have for that.
Wow.
That's terrible.
All right. Well, check out all those things. And if you enjoyed this show, join us live every single Monday night here, megapowersradio.com, as soon as Raw goes off the air. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, and links to all those can easily be found at smartoutmoment.com. Until next week, folks, for Drew White, for the Homeless Man, for Stephen Wago, and for Tony Mango, I'm Mike Payton, and we'll catch y'all on the flip.